saving money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Mr. Miyagi can't do this and rub his hands and do that. He cannot wax on and wax off me, not unless I give him permission.
That's true.
That's going to be 22 civil suits and Rusty Harden's involved. I want to tell you about Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Craig Surf is my man. That's my homie right there. He's out in Angleton. It's a little bit of a trip, 42 minutes. I can tell you this. $41 a month on the lease when I went with those guys. May not seem like a big deal until you run through the 39-month lease and you realize, oh, that's really adding up. Yeah, it really adds up. And the same thing can add up for you. They give you more trade-in value on your vehicle. But, you know, with your 0% financing you get on your Chevy Silverado pickup trucks, the 2022, or your GMC Sierra 1500 crew cab, when you are getting this amount of financing available and you get the 0%, on top of the great trade-in value that they're giving you anyway, and I mean, it's substantial right now, and the dealer cashback incentives that they have, there's never been a better time to take advantage of it. Now, they will never go above MSRP ever. Other companies are taking advantage of you with supply and demand. That's not the way my people roll over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. In Angleton, they are waiting for you. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Jose Altuve, Alistar, and MVP. If you need a new vehicle, get down to Gulf Coast Chevrolet with GMC. Chevy, find new roads.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so it's Lance Zierlein, Eric Layton with you for the last hour. We got Keith Law from, he has been with ESPN. I want to say he was with Baseball America for a while, and he's now with The Athletic. He talked about the Astros minor league system, their top prospects. We're going to get into it with him. Eric is a huge Astros fan. Speaking of, Eric, I don't think we've talked to you since the World Series. You and I got to hang out a little bit at one of the games. This is now, the Astros have played in three different World Series. Do you think it really resonates with Astros fans how lucky we are? I mean, it's to get into a World Series one time is a really big deal. Two is a really big deal. This is three times in a five-year span. That's amazing that the Astros have been this good for this long. Not ALCS, not NLCS. We're talking about World Series appearances.
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. I think anybody, first of all, Astros struggled for a long time. So anybody over the age of probably 35 realizes what a special run this is. Also, anybody that's been a fan of a team, unless you're a big Alabama fan or something, right? You know these things don't last forever. I mean, I remember watching USC during the Pete Carroll years, pinching myself, going, this is going to end at some point. Yeah, I mean, I think every year at the end of the year, you know, oftentimes my dad and I will go, you know, we watch a game, we'll go eat a little Whataburger, and then we're talking about, all right, what does it look like next year? Is this the last year that this group is together? And, you know, we're eternally optimistic. So I look at this team and I think, you know, we've got the pieces in place still, certainly the core guys to go ahead and make another run. But yeah, I mean, you're watching, and by the way, since living in San Diego and watching the Padres play with a ton of energy behind this team, you just realize like what we're doing in Houston and what this team has done since 2015 has been a remarkable run. You know, I mean, it was 15 that we lost to the Royals, right, in the DS.
Yeah.
And then 16 missed the playoffs. 17, obviously, we know what happened. 18 and so on and so forth. So it's, you know, really since 2015, this has been a remarkable run.
Yeah, and I think you have a little different perspective because you do live in a different city. Number one, you lived in a city with Dodgers fans for a while. Now you live in a city, I guess, where there's still Padres fans. I don't know.
Oh, Padre, huge Padre fans. Yeah, this is a Padres town. I mean, certainly since the Chargers left, and they're all pretty bitter about that, understandably so.
So you live in, for people to know, you live in San Diego, La Jolla area. You did live in L.A. with all the Dodgers fans. You proudly wear your Astros stuff wherever you are out there. You've got the Running Game Sports stuff that they send you. So you rep the Astros. But I think because you live outside of the city, you do have a little bit more appreciation maybe because – although you watch all the games, I mean, you get the package and you watch all the games, you also are surrounded by another team and another way of doing things. So you probably have a very unique appreciation because you're not necessarily in the same bubble.
Yeah, and you know what? It hit me when one of my buddies, we brought our sons down for game 6 last year of the World Series. He takes his three boys. He tries to get them to the World Series when he can. And so we went down to Houston and went to the World Series, and he was looking at the ballpark and he was looking at the banners, and he turned to me and he was like, dude, they've got some real history, you know? And I think we take that for granted, but when you sit there and you look at like ALCS, ALCS, World Series, World Series, World Series, it's like, you know, we only have one ring right now to show for it. We were so close to two more, but truly, I mean, a guy like that, my friend Scott, who would die to be in that position because he's a lifelong Padre fan. And outside of Tony Gwynn, you know, I mean, he's just like, we're so far away from a run like that, that it feels unattainable. And so he really, you know, he kind of helped me put it in perspective. But truly, I mean, you have to sit back and admire what they've done, even though it's a different front office now, obviously, and there's been a regime change, manager and everything else. We know that. But yeah, it's a remarkable run they're on.
All right. When we come back, I actually would love to keep going with this, but we moved Keith Law up. He had to go on 15 minutes early. So
great.
We are going to have him coming up next. So we got the Astros top 20 prospects. We're going to go through some of the next up. What about the guy who's going to replace Carlos Correa? Who are the next arms that we can look for to try to make their mark after Justin Verlander is no longer an Astro? We will get to that with a guy who knows the farm system, Keith Law from The Athletic, when we come back. Right now, I want to tell you about people who know about saving you money, and that's TGS Insurance. Homeowners insurance is required for owning your home. You need to have homeowners insurance. It's a huge purchase. It's your equity. It's your home equity. It's going to be... You know, you don't want to baby around with your insurance. You want A-rated insurance. So the first thing I'm going to tell you is you must get A-rated insurance to make sure that you are protected. Secondly, though, too many companies out there feast on you when you stay with them for more than 2 or 3 years. They continue to raise your rates. Because of hail damage in West Texas, because of flooding, we are doing this. And they're no longer competitive. And you don't go out looking for a competitive rate. A, because it takes forever doing it on the phone. And B, you're just worried about your bundle that you got. And you think, oh, the bundle makes up for it. Well, when I tell you that TGS Insurance saves the average person, their clients on average $900 annually, that should be a big heads up for you. Because what happens is people start paying way, way too much for their homeowner's insurance because they don't shop for competitive rates. If you text the word money to 232323, that's 232323, they can do all the heavy lifting for you. And within 15 seconds, their algorithm will crank out all the prices for a variety of A-rated companies, and they share with you the very best price. So now is the time to just check and see how much you can save by texting the word money to 232323. That's tgsinsurance.com.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
And joining us now, it's Lance Zierlein, Eric Layden with you. Joining us right now from The Athletic is a guy who I've relied on for years and years to tell me what the Astros farm system was going to look like. And that would be Keith Law. Keith, welcome into the show. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so it's I do a lot of NFL draft work, and I like to go back and look at my old rankings and where I had guys, and try to learn from that when possible, or try to see why is this happening, why did this happen. And I went and revisited your we'll get into your 2020 system, your farm system rankings. But here in Houston, one of the more frustrating things that has happened over the last 3 years has been the fall of Forrest Whitley. Now, I say the fall because we're basing everything on the perception of Forrest Whitley more than anything, because he hasn't pitched a lot of baseball over the last couple of years, over the last 3 years, really. Forrest Whitley was number one on your list last year at this time in February 2021. This year, he's still on your list. But can you talk for a second about the realistic long-term hope for Forrest Whitley as a Houston Astro pitcher?
Well, we have to see him come back from Tommy John surgery at this point, and that includes seeing whether his stuff comes back, which is true about 80-85% of the time, but not 100% of the time. The guys mostly recover all of their stuff, velocity, arm strength, breaking stuff, et cetera. And also it takes some time, typically after surgery, for guys to recover their command. Now, Whitley was having pretty significant command issues before the injury, but it's possible he was already dealing with a partial UCL tear going into the point where they discovered he needed to have surgery, and maybe that was causing some of his loss of command. I've seen Whitley multiple times, obviously not since the surgery, but beforehand, would see several plus pitches, a guy who did, for me, throw strikes, who has the size and the delivery to be a frontline starter. I still think that pitcher is in there somewhere, but the odds are, even if he comes back at 100% of what he was before the elbow started bothering him, we will not see that version of Whitley until at least 2023, and maybe not even a year after that, as he recovers and rehabilitates his elbow from Tommy John.
Just to follow up on guys who made it in 2021, two guys who are not on your list, and they really, frankly, came out of nowhere here with Astros fans as well, were Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers as well. Jake, of course, coming up a little later. What did you know about those two guys and how quickly they ascended up the ranks?
Well, they probably wouldn't have seemed as quick if we'd had a typical 2020 season, right? Yeah. A lot of guys just sort of, skipped levels, popped up a little bit faster than you might have otherwise expected. I think that happened across baseball last year. And they both felt like, and I would still probably argue that they're probably just, extra guys, especially on a contending team. They should not be handling everyday roles. And this is kind of the state of the Astros system at this point, is that they're lacking a lot of guys who could be, who project as everyday players or who project as more than, say, fifth starters or middle relievers, which obviously you may want to talk about that, but that's the system has declined as they've graduated a lot of those players, they've traded a few of those players. They haven't been replacing them. You can't build a contender out of the Myers and McCormick type players. Nice to have them. You certainly love when your system is spitting those guys out on a regular basis so that you're not trying to go externally to fill bench spots, to fill middle relief spots. But you can't build a system around those guys.
Keith, Eric Layden, certainly with those guys stepping up, Astro fans feel a little bit more secure in their outfield. One place that Astro fans are feeling very insecure is at the shortstop position, with Carlos about to, what we all feel like is going to leave. Is there somebody in the system that Astro fans can feel confident that's going to be able to come in and maybe not produce at the same level, which would be asking a lot, but produce enough that, we shouldn't have to go out and spend a ton of money to try to either keep Carlos or, pay someone else big money?
If they're not going to keep Carlos Correa, and it seems like they're not, I don't really know. You guys probably would know the answer to that better than I would. But if they don't intend to meet his asking price, then I think Jeremy Pena, who I have second best prospect in the system, is the long-term replacement for him. I don't know that he would step in right now. He only had about 150, 160 plate appearances last year because he had a tendon injury in his wrist that cost him a pretty good chunk of the season. But when he did play, he's always been able to play shortstop. Even back when he was at University of Maine, he was considered a major league caliber defensive shortstop. There are real questions about whether he'd hit enough to be anything more than a backup, maybe even an emergency call-up type. But the Astros have done a few little things with his swing, mostly to the kid's credit. He's gotten substantially stronger, and he was making a lot more impact last year. He had 10 homers in that limited playing time. His contact quality was substantially higher. I think you sort of said it perfectly. It's a lot to ask for anyone to step in and replace Correa's production, but I think Pena can be an average, maybe even better, big league regular at shortstop. He's somebody who would have been higher on my list if he just played more. But dealing with such a small sample of performance for a guy who had never produced like this previously, I wanted to stay a little bit conservative and say, hey, I love what I'm seeing here. And if this is really the player that he is, the Astros have really found something here. And Pena's created something of himself. Credit. But we've got to see him do this over a bit of a longer period of time. And if he comes out, carries this forward the first 2 months of this season, then I think the Astros should consider accelerating his development and saying, no, this is our shortstop of the future. Let's get him up now for the second half of the season so that he can get acclimated to major league level. And by 2023, he's the opening day shortstop.
And is there room for, or do you think that because he played third, or is there someone that's a stronger replacement at third, and then you move Alex Bregman over to short, in your opinion?
Well, you could do that short term, right? You could have Bregman fill in at shortstop for the year. I think Pena's going to be a better defensive shortstop than Bregman is. Pena's an above average to plus defensive shortstop, I think, right now. And Bregman is not going to be that. But Bregman could certainly fill in the position for a year. If the alternative is going out and signing someone externally, like, you don't want to give Trevor Story a multi-year deal when, frankly, Pena has a good chance to be a Trevor Story type player. At least within the range of possible outcomes for him. And he's there. He's already in the system, and he's essentially free, as opposed to making a large financial commitment. I think you'd have to give up a draft pick to sign Story. I would not be looking external. To me, it's Carlos Correa, or you go with some internal options while you wait for Pena to be ready. And the fact that you have Bregman, who could slide back over to shortstop on a temporary basis, makes that transition plan easier.
Can you tell people about Hunter Brown? Because the Astros, last year you had Luis Garcia as number two in the system, and he turned out to be fantastic. What are your thoughts on Hunter Brown? I know you have him number three on your list. He's got good size and has a big arm. Talk about Hunter Brown, what he brings to the table, and how quickly you think he could become a factor for the Astros.
So it's top of the rotation type stuff. And Brown, I've always been interested in Brown since he came out of Division II school in Michigan. And I think that we as an industry still, I don't know that we still underscout those guys, but there's enough of a bias against players who don't come out of Division I schools, whether it's D2, D3, NAIA, even two-year colleges. We don't give them enough credit. We don't put them on equal footing necessarily, especially pitchers. If you throw hard, you throw hard. It kind of doesn't matter as much what the caliber of competition is. And Brown really throws hard. He's been up to 99 as a starter. He will average 95, 96. He's got two breaking balls. They're both sharp. There's a lot of power to both pitches. He doesn't throw a lot of strikes. That's the biggest issue so far. And I don't think there's really a physical, like a delivery reason why he can't get there. I do think a lot of his life probably hasn't had to. He could blow a lot of guys up with pure velocity or spin a slider, and most of the hitters he's been able to face, he's even been true in the minors to some extent, just can't catch up with it. That's the thing that's separating him from being a top 100 prospect, from being someone I say is going to be a number two starter at some point in the near future. He's got to throw a lot more strikes. He's walking basically a man every other inning last year, and that there's actually signs. There are signs of progress within his performance last year, but I think he may have another year in the minors to go before he gets there. And some of it is also, I think, a little bit of an approach that his style of pitching, his pitching plan, is very much just power, throw hard, and if that doesn't work, throw harder. And that doesn't usually work. There needs to be more finesse, more idea of changing speeds to try to get hitters out. It's something, there's no reason he can't get there. He's just not there yet. Right now, if they called him around to the big leagues, he would walk too many guys. And you'd be saying, well, he's a reliever or a swingman or something like that. But you develop him as a starter. He has all of these starter attributes. I just think he needs more time.
That's Keith Law from The Athletic. Great piece. You should search it up. I do a podcast for The Athletic, so I'll be broadcasting with Dane Brugler today, and it'll come out tomorrow on the draft. Keith Law has great baseball coverage. The Athletic is phenomenal. Some really, really good baseball minds and sports minds over there. Make sure you check out his work. As always, Keith, thanks so much for joining us and giving us an update on the Astros farm system.
Thank you,
we really
Keith.
Appreciate it.
Yep, my pleasure.
That's Keith Law. When we come back, there's something that's called an info line. It's when information is disseminated from the hosts, and the hosts in this particular case, me, Lance Zierlein, and Eric Layden. And what we do is you, the caller, will call in, and no question is too mundane. It could be about a traffic question. It could be about how to do something with your microwave. What's the best time to, you know, to put away your Christmas lights? It's called InfoLine, and we've done this for a few years now. Usually gets a lot of phone calls, and the information is extraordinarily good and effective in your life. So we promise to make your life better. Here's what we're going to do. If you guys want to jump on and get your questions in for InfoLine, 713-870-3776. That's 713-870. No, that's not it. It's 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. That's our phone number. Get in right now. You get in and out very quickly. That's how InfoLine works. If you've ever been part of it, you know what the deal is. Rapid fire, rapid fire, rapid fire. No question is too mundane. No question is too complex for InfoLine answers. So make sure you jump in now, and we will get you up and on board. I'm looking right now at, man, I'm on day four of juicing. This is the wrong time for me to be looking at the brunch menu for the Union Kitchen. Breakfast pizza, homemade crust, sausage gravy, Gouda cheese, bacon, and three fried eggs. They've got beignets, silver dollar pancakes. They've got avocado toast, deviled eggs. They've got the Peggy's omelet. My favorite is the Colorado omelet with grilled steak, Italian sausage, chorizo, applewood bacon, spinach and crab omelets. I mean, my gosh, there's just so many great things to choose from at their, you know, off the website, but certainly at their locations as well. There are six different locations around the Houston area. But if you can't find something that you love at brunch or at lunch or at dinner, you're not trying, because they have an expansive menu that has something for everyone, no matter what your taste is, from something light to something that's more in the comfort food range. My friends at the Union Kitchen are putting it down, and you need to make sure you get in for that brunch, because it is phenomenal. Go to theunionkitchen.com, theunionkitchen.com. Find a location nearest you. Check out the menu and make sure that you are loading up with my friends who make some outstanding food and a fun, fun, delicious brunch at theunionkitchen.com.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
If you hear the music, you know it's time for InfoLine.
It's time.
It's time for us to answer the questions that you may have. It could be questions about life, love, your own pursuit of happiness. Maybe you have a job interview coming up. What color belt to wear with what color shoes? What's the pocket square looking like? Do you have a bourbon question? We can answer those for you. Maybe it's just about single-ply, double-ply toilet paper. These are the questions we can answer for you here on InfoLine. Our phone number is 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. No question is too big. No question is too small. We're out here trying to make your life a little bit better. Aren't we, buddy?
Yeah. There are stupid questions, though, so try to refrain from those.
I mean, I'm good with whatever. If you'd like to have a stupid question, you can certainly do that as well. Once again, the phone number is 713-780-3776. I'll also be checking my Twitter account to see if you tweet, because I know some of you are very lazy. Here is our first InfoLine question. What are good substitutes for butter in recipes? Eric?
Well, you know, I am in California, and we have a lot of healthy, conscious people out in California.
Very healthy. The weather's great there.
Weather is great. Oftentimes, you're wearing a bathing suit. You know, you got to have your beach body in shape. At this house, we have a lot of ghee. I don't know if you if you're familiar with ghee.
Kind of a fake butter. It's made from the intestines of a lamb, I believe.
Ghee is made from the intestines of a lamb.
Okay.
It has been strained to remove all the water, so it keeps that water weight off.
Yeah.
I don't know. You are someone I know that struggles with your water weight.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it in your face.
Yeah. it's a little puffy right now. I'm trying to reduce some of the salt intake, and I'm hoping that will help.
Okay. So ghee tends to be a little bland, so a lot of people like to put a little salt on it. Okay. I don't know. That might be counterintuitive for you, but... ghee is what I would say. Otherwise, maybe a little coconut butter.
Coconut butter is a good, mm-hmm. it's a good side, but I'd say ghee is probably the correct answer. Let's get Alex in now. Once again, the phone number for InfoLine, 713-780-3776. Alex, you're on with InfoLine. I'm Lance Zierlein. This is Eric.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lance. Hi, Eric. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely.
Just a quick one. Going through some stuff relationship-wise, and I guess what I want to get to is, if you don't use it, do you lose it?
Oh, wow. What an amazing question that is. Eric, for a long time, people have said, I've heard this phrase, smoke them if you've got them, which is a variation on, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And is it true, though? Is it just a phrase, or is it, if you don't use it, you will lose it?
You know, this is a tough question for me because I use it. I rarely don't use it. I unless you're a cross-country skier, I don't think there's any chance of you possibly losing it. And if we're talking about it as in the penis, or are we talking about overall swag of, you know, that it takes to be a proper lovemaker?
Might just be the relationship in general. It may not even be about genitalia.
Oh, okay. Well, relationships are there forever, but in terms of the swag, I think you do, Alex, have to keep it. You have to use it. Otherwise, you start to put on a little weight. Next thing you know, all your pants have elastic bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just tough to walk around the house feeling fire.
Ooh, you're talking a little loud now. Let's make sure we keep our volume down.
I get excited when we talk about love.
I know you do. King of Twitch asks, if I wanted to make my own breakfast on a bun, how do I get the egg to fry with the exact circumference of the bun? Well, I think one of the best ways to do that is a place like maybe Tuesday. I think it's until Tuesday or Tuesday morning or something like that. You go to a home goods store, typically a Bed Bath & Beyond will work as well. And what you'll find is a lot of time they have different tins that are set up that you can actually fry an egg to the circumference that you are looking for. So typically a Bed Bath & Beyond. And don't forget your 20% discount coupon.
No.
Do not forget your... If you don't have one, wait in the mail. You will definitely have one within the next 30 to 40 minutes. So make sure you get out there and do that. Let's get Eric in now. Eric wants to join us here on InfoLine, where we're helping to make your life just a little bit better. Eric?
Hi, guys. Got a little bit of a problem. Once a year, my wife requires that I objectify women on my birthday. So this year, she's given me a choice. I can go to an Eyes Wide Shut party hosted by Scarlett Johansson, Portia de Rossi, and the ghost of Don Wells, TV's Marianne from Gilligan's Island, or I can have 24 hours with Melania Trump, all orifices involved,
okay,
but the president has to watch.
Okay, let's just go ahead and hang up on that call. I didn't think we need to go to the O-bomb there. I don't know if you need information there. I would just say the first one maybe I'm not into ghosts necessarily, but I'm willing to give it a chance because I'm open-minded.
I don't have a ghost fetish either, but that sounds like the options are a little bit more robust than the second option, yeah, which was just one person.
Sounded like, yeah, that was a little more limited. Let's get Jason in here on InfoLine. Our phone number is 713-780-3776. It's ESPN 97.5's InfoLine. Jason.
Hi.
Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. I have a question for you. Is a hot dog a sandwich? I hang up and listen.
Oh, that's a... It's been quite the conundrum for years and years. Is the hot dog a sandwich? And I've never had this discussion with you, so I don't want it to get heated. I'll just say this. To me, if the question comes up, I think it's best to allow someone else to answer the question first. And then if it's someone you're comfortable with, you can have a debate. But if you're at a party and maybe it's your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend's party and you don't want to cause a big fuss, that's where you just agree with whatever they have. But if you're getting close to breaking up and you feel like, I don't like this person anyway, go ahead and fire away with the opposite of whatever the people say at the party. So me personally, and once again, I don't know how you feel about this, I do not believe the hot dog is a sandwich. I believe the hot dog is in its own category.
Yeah, I think the hot dog is, in fact, a sandwich because you see a sliver coming through that open space, just like you would with a Philly cheesesteak sandwich, oftentimes served in a Kaiser roll. Both sides of the roll aren't cut open, just one side, and then they put a lot of, you know, of the meat and cheese and accoutrement inside the, yeah, Kaiser roll,
right.
So, or a hoagie, so to speak. So you don't always have to have two pieces of bread, as long as you've got a sliver in there to put whatever, right, it is you're putting. So the hot dog is, in fact, a sandwich.
Okay.
Now, if you were going to ask me about a kolache is, in fact, not a sandwich because the bun encloses around the meat. So if you can see what's inside, it is, in fact, a sandwich.
Before we get to Tyler, who has a question here on InfoLine, I got this question on Twitter. Can you give me a detailed synopsis of Eric's show, The Right Stuff, Lance? You've watched it, right? Basically, it's a story about astronauts and mission control people. Astronauts go up in space. There's a huge explosion. Eric is murdered. And the end. That's really what we're looking at there for Eric's show called The Right Stuff. Tyler, go ahead. Did you have a question?
Yeah, just following up on the hot dog a sandwich question, Lance, you being from Louisiana.
Well, I'm from here. I just lived there 2 years.
Well,
don't put that stink on me.
You've been,
yeah,
there.
Okay.
The beans and chili debate is a hot one in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is, with your experience in Louisiana, do beans go in gumbo?
Wow, I would say that's a hard no. And as a Texan, I actually don't love beans and chili. I don't know what the Texas answer is there. But for me, it's fine if they're there. I'd prefer it if it's not there, especially if it's going to be on a Frito pie. And as far as Louisiana is concerned, to me, there's never a reason to put beans, especially the beans that you would put in a chili, a kidney bean, a pinto bean, into a gumbo. So to me,
how about a Cajun red bean?
Just because you call it Cajun doesn't make it Cajun. I could say I'm having Cajun key lime pie. Doesn't actually make it Cajun.
I mean,
just because
beans,
you put cayenne on something doesn't make it Cajun.
Okay.
That's a mistake a lot of people make.
Okay.
Here's a question from Dave. I'll let you answer this. You've got kids about the same age. Mm-hmm. My son is 6, second year in Little League. Should I pay for batting lessons?
Oh, that's tough. I think it's 6. No, I don't think you need to pay for batting lessons. In fact, I don't really think you need to pay for batting lessons at some time. But, you know, if Dave maybe has never played baseball and doesn't know how to swing a bat, like Dave himself as a father, then I think that possibly you find another father on his Little League team or hopefully the coach of his Little League team that can help him. But 6 seems awful young for batting lessons. I will say that I think really until the age of about 10,
yeah, your kid's not that good.
It's C-ball hit ball. And, you know, kids are pretty amazing. So if they watch the ball, their body does pretty amazing things if they can catch up with the pitching machine.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if your child, if you're asking yourself if your child should have batting lessons at six, they're not good, and you want them to get better. If your kid is really balling out at the age of six, my answer would be yes, because you could be purchasing a lottery ticket. So anytime you can make money off of your children, I say go for it. Have your kids unbox presents on YouTube, do TikTok dances, get them batting coaches, put them in gymnastics at the age of three, start to, you know, starve them, have them fly all over the place, make a little money maybe on a Cirque du Soleil circuit, because it's time they pay you back.
Yeah, I don't know how much money they're making after you put in all that. I mean, the return on investment there doesn't seem very profitable, but
that's true. But you know what? You're just a money drain at this point. So how about you kick in a little something? It's 9:47. Thank you so much for being part of InfoLine. That's always a fun time. We learn a little, we live a little, and we laugh a little right here on ESPN 97.5. It's InfoLine.
ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, so we only have 5 minutes to go. I guess other people could take advantage of this, too. I'll let Tyler, if he wants to. 713-780-3776. Eric is an extremely famous and important Hollywood actor. He's got an amazing Instagram where he plays guitar and banjo, looks into the sunset. So you live a life that most of us don't live. And so what I want to do is a little AMA, a little Ask Me Anything, where we get to ask you questions about your life, about some of the stuff you do, and you will answer those for us. Is that cool?
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you how truthful I'll be, but sure.
That's fine. 713-780-3776. Tyler, if you've got one, you can fire first.
Well, I did have one, actually, but you already answered it, the powdered milk. I was wondering what they used for fake cocaine, heroin, meth, whatever.
What about weed? What do they use for weed?
Weed is similar to – it's the same thing they use for fake cigarettes, which they're like – they're called herbal cigarettes. I mean, you could probably look them up online.
Yeah.
But they're – yeah, they're essentially like a
– like nowadays, could you just like – they could just do like CBD or – like hemp.
Well, no, because you can't. I mean, it's similar to why, because even like 10 years ago when I was on Mad Men, you know, you're not allowed to smoke. Like John smoked in January, smoked.
Oh, they did.
So, like in real life, but like you can't smoke on it. So even though the herbal cigarettes are terrible, 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 terrible. You can't say, well, I'll smoke a regular cigarette, because you're then, you know, giving, you know, the crew is around, they might be adverse to secondhand smoke or smell. So they actually won't allow you to smoke a real cigarette, even if you wanted to. So CBD probably wouldn't work either. I don't know what they use for vape pens, but I'm guessing that it's probably just
next question. Too long on this one. We got to get to real questions. Like, have you ever heard of actors in the middle of a shoot getting a little too randy in a love scene?
100%. Yeah. In fact, I know an actor that I've worked with that ended up getting together with the female that he was in the scene with, and they ended up getting married after the job. But during that particular lovemaking scene.
Oh, yeah, so not just like on the set. I'm talking about in the scene. You're saying yes in the scene?
Yes, in the scene. He told me that actually they were really making love.
He told you that?
Yeah, he told me that.
Oh my gosh. Did they have a discussion beforehand?
Oh yeah, they had been, you know, together on the side. So
cuz there's things that Hollywood has like that can cover things
so
up.
You probably can't tell us the show or movie, whatever it was.
They're married.
I can't tell you the movie. Well, wasn't
so we just
me.
Have to like guess. Yeah, 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 it's not you, but whatever we watch for the sex scene, we just got to guess.
You have
doing it.
Horrific Kevin Spacey stories where he came onto you at a party?
No. No, I've heard voicemails Kevin has left for friends of mine, though.
Are they really friendly and just nice and not at all predatory?
Hey, X. Man, that was really fun playing tennis the other day. Would love to have you come back over to the house, play some tennis. I actually happened to pick up some tennis shorts and, I don't know, thought you'd look good in them. So, you know,
is that real?
You want to come over, swear, but I promise you. Yep. I've heard okay. The voicemail.
Okay. And here's the last one. Who is the coolest person in Hollywood that you've met and who's the biggest a-hole?
Biggest a-hole's probably Belushi.
Jim Belushi.
Jim Belushi, yeah. We did not get along very well. I did a guest star on a show that he was on called The Defenders, something like that. He and Jerry O'Connell did. And so I came in and did the pilot. And we didn't have the best of working relationships,
yep.
But that's all right. And greatest person I've worked with in Hollywood. Oh, man, I've been lucky. I've worked with so many really fantastic people. It's hard to like kind of even go back and think. Bradley Cooper and I got along. I'm trying to think of like bigger celebrities.
Sure.
But Bradley Cooper and I got along really well.
Seems like a good dude.
On American Sniper. And, you know, I really respect the way he, you know, handles his business.
How is Tim Robbins? Did you ever see him on
Tim and I? No, absolutely. And I've been in touch with Tim, not as much recently with, but no, absolutely. Tim's great. And he directed several episodes. Very funny. Jack Black is exactly what you think Jack Black would be like. We had a
good
blast on that show and he, you know, rolls in sweatpants and Crocs.
How about my guy who was Marlo Stanfield and on Bosch? What's his name?
Jamie Hector's a really good dude.
Yeah.
Really talented, very good guy, extremely respectful.
Terrifying is Marlo Stanfield.
Yeah,
terrifying
is Marlo. So really good dude, as is Titus.
Titus, who plays
extremely
Bosch.
Lucky. People respect when I walk on, you know what I mean, Lance? So
No, I know. I know, no doubt. And in 20 seconds, how about Jason Bateman? Everyone asks that. Have you spent any time with Jason Bateman?
So I only got to do I did a day with him, and he was great. Jason's great.
Yeah.
But I only got one day with him, but he's exactly what you think he'd be.
Good. Dude,
yeah.
Thanks for spending 2 hours with me and waking up early.
Man,
I appreciate it.
I
had a good time.
Absolutely. It was a fun. Tyler, right. Thanks, man. Lance,
coming up next, Vanessa and Gallant right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't you go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.